but that we will be free. And let a spirit burden us. Since the time of Stuttgart conference, I felt the Lord is taking a turn, and the Lord wants to go on. But God's people has always been very slow to follow. Very slow to follow. I believe that's part of our fallen nature. We are disobedient. We are not for Him. We are very much for ourselves and for our own life today on this earth. The history of God's people shows that we are all contrary to God's purpose and God's will. Look at the people of Israel. Right. And look at Adam and Eve. Even before the fall, God told them, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God told them specifically. And they were not fallen then at that time. But what happened? Just a little temptation. Eve gave in and partook of the fruit of that tree, forbidden tree, and sin entered. And of course, after sin entered, then men began to fall from one stage to another until the time of Noah. God had to destroy the whole earth at that time. You know the situation. And have a new beginning. And shortly after the new beginning in Babel, the Tower of Babel, you all knew what happened. There was again another rebellion against God. And the Lord called out Abram. And then through Abram, Isaac, Jacob, and God's people. And where did they land? They landed in Egypt for almost 400 years. Then God brought them out of Egypt into the good land and established the nation of Israel. Wonderful. And chose Jerusalem, built His temple there. And soon after the temple was built in time of Solomon, you know, Solomon fell at the very end in his old age. And the nation of Israel went downhill. And at the end, you know the history, they were all captured. The city destroyed, many killed, and the rest were captured in captivity in Babylon. And of course, the northern 10 tribes were already captured elsewhere in Assyria and Egypt, scattered everywhere. So you can see that God's people has been very rebellious. I hope we are different. But in the flesh, we are not. Unfortunately. What about after they came back? After 70 years, they came back. Even after they came back, in the beginning it was okay. But soon after, they fell again. They fell again, and it was really bad. Until the time when the Lord Jesus came, the first coming of the Lord, what happened to God's people? What happened? They welcomed the king.
They killed the Messiah.
They not only rejected him, they wanted to get rid of him, and they crucified him. So the Lord had to judge. Then, of course, on the day of Pentecost, the church began. The new covenant began. The old covenant didn't work because it was just to prepare for the coming of the new covenant and the coming of Christ. But then God's people were not one with God. So the church was built. Praise the Lord for the new covenant. But soon after the first century, even before the 12 apostles, including Paul and Barnabas and Apollos and all these apostles passed away, before the end of the first century, the churches already began to fall. Paul said, all those churches in Asia left me. They left me. And at the end, in the book of Revelation, we really see, we can read it, the churches were just falling away. And by the end of the 3rd century and 5th century, from the 3rd to the 5th century, Roman Catholicism was fully built. So you can see the 6th century was a big, monstrous Babylon the Great for over 1,000 years. Why? What happened to God's people? What happened to the churches? Then after 1,500 years, at a time of Reformation, with Martin Luther, the Lord started to recover his church. And you can see for the last 500 years, the Lord could only go so far in each age, only so far because people refused to go on with him. It's not possible. They always just stopped to a certain point, and that's it. And then they went downhill again. So the Lord has to revive another group. And they went to the Lord with a few steps, and then they went downhill again. And so it's a history of revival after revival, and they went down again until our time. Forty-some years ago, I experienced wonderful church life here in the United States. It was really wonderful. It was heaven on earth. In the 60s, early 70s, it was really wonderful, heaven on earth. But after 1972, it began to go downhill, and by 75, 76, it was really not a good situation. It was another Babylon, another spiritual captivity. Goodness. And of course, in the mid-80s to 90s, that was chaotic. So you can really see that God's people is unfortunately a rebellious people. I don't know why. I'm not criticizing anyone in the past. I'm talking about ourselves because this is what we are in our natural self, in our natural being. So if you're not exercising your spirit, the only trend for you to go naturally is downhill. Right? Look at your human life. When you're young, where's my granddaughter? I saw the granddaughter sitting there. Oh, even the baby, you know. Wow, so fresh, wonderful, living. Everything is wonderful. And a baby, wonderful. But naturally, as time goes by, you grow older. Right. Why? Because of our fallen human being. And when you become 50, you're different. When you become 80, you're different. When you're 95, you're different. When you're about 100 years old, you're about to turn to dust. Why? Because dust thou art, to dust thou shalt return. What do you expect of a fallen human being? But the Lord is different. The more ancient he is, the more glorious. At the very end, in the book of Revelation, his eyes were like burning fire. If you're 80 or you're 90 or you're 100, your eyes can hardly see anymore, right? So you can really see that if we are not exercising our spirit, naturally you will be going down. I really hope that at this age, with all of us, the young generation here, all of you, I'm already past that young generation. I hope you will all rise up for God's purpose, because this is the very purpose of your life. What is your goal? Your goal is to make a lot of money. Your goal is to have a good job, to have a nice family life, and then what? Get old and turn to dust. Is that your goal? Turn to dust. So, if that's not your goal, then what is your goal? Every day, in every month, every year in our daily living today, if it's not for God's purpose, is wasted time. Especially in your age, especially in your time now. You are in your prime time, and you have to give this time for God's purpose. And this is eternal. This will not end. This will last forever. Your company will not last forever. Right? You change from one company to another, and then all of a sudden you're back in the old company. Right? You see? You think Microsoft will last forever? No, definitely not. Right? Apple? Oh, it'll rot away. I have not seen an apple that will last forever. It will rot away, believe me. It's going to rot away. It's a matter of time. Then what? Then what? Right. Sometimes I was wondering why the Lord created termites. To eat up your house. Yeah. Right. To eat up your house. Everything on this earth will be eaten away. There's no other reason for God to create termites. But God knows you love your house too much. So He creates termite. It's good. Termites are very good. To show that your house are just good for termites. So, the whole Bible tells us only what is done for God's purpose Amen. Is eternal. Amen. This is called a young professional conference. Conference for young professionals. So what's your profession? David, what is your profession? Yes. That's your real profession. Actually, it should be your only profession. Whatever other things you're doing is just to make a living, that's all. That's not your goal, that's going to pass away. It is just something practical you have to do. And you use it as a training in your life, which is good. We need that. We need that. But really, our goal is to serve the living God. Amen. To be for His purpose, to be for His will. Amen. And to know what is in His heart. And you have to know the living God. You need to develop a living relationship with Him. You need to have an ear to hear Him. You need to have an eye to see Him. Not outward eyes, but inner eyes. The eyes of your heart being enlightened, Paul said. You need to see. You need to have an inner ear to hear. You know, when the Lord appeared to Paul on the way to Damascus, the people who were with him didn't see him. Because God didn't appear to him. And those who were with him were not seeking. But Paul, although he was in Judaism at that time, his heart was for God. He wants to know God. He wanted to know God. And so on the way to Damascus, the Lord appeared to him. He saw. The rest didn't see. And he heard the speaking. And the rest didn't know what was that. And after that, Paul continuously received the vision from the Lord and the speaking from the Lord. The speaking never stopped. With John, with Peter, with Barnabas, with so many of these saints. If you read the book of Acts, even saints like Ananias, nobody knew who he was. Not the Ananias who dropped dead now. Well, if you deceive the Holy Spirit, you're going to drop dead. Not physically, but spiritually, you're going to drop dead. But the other Ananias, whom the Lord sent to lay his hands on Paul and tell Paul to arise and be baptized and to give Paul God's commission, nobody knows who this Ananias was. After that incident, he was never mentioned again. But the Lord appeared to him and spoke to him, and he spoke to the Lord. He even answered the Lord, but Lord, you know about this guy. He went about killing your believers, binding those who call upon your name. He talked to the Lord. And the Lord told him, hey, don't worry, he's a chosen vessel. He's waiting for you. In his vision, he saw a man coming named Ananias. You already know you're going there. So don't be afraid. Just go. Right? The Lord even talked to him. You need the Lord's speaking like that. You think the Lord doesn't talk anymore to anybody? Who was Ananias? He was a nobody. I don't know anything more about this Ananias. He was not an apostle. He was not nothing. Not Timothy, not Titus, not Philemon, nothing. So you can see the Lord appear to him. How often does the Lord appear to you and talk to you? It depends on our heart. So the Bible, from Genesis, even after the fall of Adam in the Garden of Eden, God appeared to him. Adam, where are you? Right. So here you can really see at the end in the book of Revelation with John in the island of Patmos, I think he was very discouraged. He was alone. And the Lord appeared to him and showed him all the visions in the book of Revelation. Isn't that wonderful? So God is a God who appears and speaks. The trouble is nobody cares. Nobody cares. And today we do care. I hope that we are a people who care. So you can see all the prophets in the Old Testament, they all have the Lord's living appearance. Amen. The Lord appeared to all of them, to Daniel, to Ezekiel, to Isaiah, to Abraham, to Noah, everybody. The Lord appeared to them. Now let's go to Isaiah chapter 6. Amen, amen. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood what? Seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. And the whole earth is full of his glory."
Amen.
Praise the Lord. What a vision. What a vision. Daniel saw the same vision. If you read Daniel, chapter 7. Ezekiel chapter 1, Ezekiel saw the vision of God's glory. Of course, John saw the vision. So many of God's people, they saw this wonderful vision. We all need to see this vision. In Revelation, in the New Testament, in chapter 4, John saw heavens opened, and he saw this vision. The throne, God of glory, he saw. And he saw in chapter 5, the ascension of Christ, who took that little book out of the right hand of God. And here, in the midst of all this terrible fallen background of the people of Israel, during the time of Isaiah, even during the time of course, Ezekiel and Daniel, and the situation was very bad, very, very bad. But as bad as the situation was, we all need a vision. The worse it gets, the more glorious the vision should be that you see. You need to see the vision. If you don't see the vision, then you have nowhere to go on. You need a heavenly vision. Not a vision of some knowledge of the Bible, but you see the vision of the throne. You see the vision of the one sitting on the throne, the living Christ, the living God. And here, his robe filled the temple. And you see the seraphims, the angels, crying to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." Except people don't see it. unfortunately. Actually, if you have eyes to see, the whole earth is still full of glory. Look at all the living creatures running around. Yeah, that shows God's glory. All the trees, all of God's creation reveals God's glory. Every time I see the birds jumping, flying around, and all these, and trees, the fruits, and the green grass, and wow, the babies, I say, wow, God, you're wonderful. You're a wonderful God who created wonderful things. Wonderful things. Actually, the earth is full of His glory. But of course, also full of other things. But here you can see, in spite of the fallen situation, you need to see heaven open. You need to see the throne, the one sitting on the throne, something much, much higher than what is existing on this earth. Otherwise, you're going to be discouraged, you're going to be pulled down, you're going to be pressed down, you're going to give up, you're going to quit. You will say, what's the point? And so instead of pursuing the Lord, you'll be pursuing something else which will be worse. So Isaiah, during this time, he saw God's vision. Praise the Lord. It's very important, and this vision is going to hold you. This vision is going to keep you. In spite of all the difficulties, problems, Babylon, the world, etc. Praise the Lord. Welcome. You'll be kept by this vision. And the posts of the doors were shaken by the voice of him who cried out. And the house was filled with smoke of his glory. If you see this vision, Isaiah says, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. My eyes have seen the King. If you have seen the King, then you will firstly see yourself, what you are. It's good to see what you are, not to be discouraged, but to really see. Otherwise, you only see what other people are doing, and you only see that what's wrong surrounding you, but you don't see what's wrong with you. But we need to see, firstly, like Isaiah, I am a man of unclean lips. You know, whether we are clean or unclean is manifested in our lips. Because your lips oftentimes expresses what is in your heart. So, be careful what we say. Whatever is in our heart, sooner or later will come out of your mouth. Because your mouth has no zipper. You say, no zipper. Every time you see a person, his mouth is always open. Especially then when at night you're resting, your mouth is open. It's very hard for us to close our mouth. Even the children, from the time they are small until the time they're old, they cannot close their mouth. So you can really see. Whatever is in you will come out of your mouth. A lot of things. That's why James, the book of James, says, our lips and our tongue is a dangerous thing. Dangerous thing. It can really kindle a fire. Even at home, just a few exchange of words, you see fire coming out of your nostrils like a dragon. Right? Just a few words, you know, very strange. Huh? Just a couple of sentences, that's it. You're going to set everything on fire. I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. This is what happened. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. In verse 6, then one of the seraphim, praise the Lord, we need the angels to help us, to serve us. I very seldom talk about the angels because people get a lot of strange ideas. Then you're going to see angels every day. That's not good. You know, in the book of Colossians, Paul mentioned about people who boast about the angels. But the angels are just our slaves, serving spirits, ministering spirits. They are there to serve us, to help us. So don't boast about them. they are just ministering spirits. But they do minister to serve us. Praise the Lord. Amen. You have to be thankful. And it's a good thing you don't see them. But they do a lot of things to help you, to protect you, too. That's why the Lord says, don't cause stumbling to one of this little one, because their angels is always standing before me. So be careful. Right? Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having his hand a live coal. Not a dead coal. It's a live coal. It's burning, living, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquities is taken away and your sin purged. Wonderful. Praise the Lord. We need to be purged. We need to be cleansed. Because God cannot use unclean vessel. Even at home, if you have a glass that's not clean, would you use it? No. That's why you have dishwasher. Even if you use it once or twice, just put it in the dishwasher, right? And that's it. You clean it. Anything, any vessel that you use, you know how to clean it before you use it, right? Do you do that or you don't? You do. That's why you're healthy today. You look healthy. That's good, because you clean all the vessels you use. What about spiritual vessels? Any vessels that the Lord wants to use must firstly be purged, be cleansed with live coal. And it's taken from the altar, which signifies the cross, the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. And his precious blood cleanses us from all sin. The purging blood of our Lord Jesus Christ must be as fresh and living and burning as living coal. If you touch something that is hot, you feel it, right? You felt burned, don't you? That's right. And when you take the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, do you feel cleansed? Do you have a feeling you're cleansed? You have the living faith there that says, thank you, Lord, for the cleansing. Lord, I'm not going to do it again. Cleanse me. Make me pure. Purify me. take these evil thoughts out of me, out of my mouth, out of my heart. The purging is a living purging. That the angel, the seraphim, took this coal and touched the lips shows that it is not just, oh yeah, okay, praise the Lord, now I take the blood. It's a formality. Now my sins are cleansed, forgiven. Praise the Lord. But you don't feel the heat. You don't feel that something got burned here in your mouth. You don't feel it. This is no good. This living coal, still burning, live, taken. Even the angels have to use the what? The tongues. Why? Why do you use tongues? Because it's hot. Exactly. It's hot. If it's just a dead coal, you don't need. But it's here, burning hot and touching the lips. Your iniquity is taken away, your sin purged. This is really wonderful. I hope that all of us will see that. This vision is the same as the vision in Daniel. Anyway, we don't have time to go into Daniel right now. But I want to share this with you. That even in a vision of Daniel, in the midst of the four living creatures there, they're the cherubims, here they're the seraphims. In the midst of the four living creatures, you have coals of fire burning there. Wherever God is, the living God is, there's always this coals of fire burning. Like in front of the throne in the book of Revelation, there are seven torches of fire burning before the throne, right? And these are the seven spirits of God burning. So if we say that we have the living presence of the Lord and it's not burning within us, it doesn't sound right. The temperature is cold. And we say that, oh, God is here. You know, if God is here, the temperature is going to be high. It's going to be coals of fire burning. But if we say that God is here and it's ice cold, like a freezer, okay, not a freezer, a refrigerator, or just an air con, you still feel so cool and comfortable. Then you are just imagining that God is here. It's just your imagination. Yeah. Because you don't feel anything. You don't see His presence. So you don't even know your need, your condition, you don't even know. And you may think you're doing well, but you're not doing well. We may think we are okay. Perhaps before Isaiah saw the glory of the Lord in chapter 6, maybe he thought he was okay. But when he saw the glory of the Lord, he says, woe to me. So the Lord touched his lips. It's really wonderful because if you really, truly have a realization of what you are, and there is a repentance within you, you don't have to tell the Lord even to cleanse me, because the angel of the Lord will come and do it, will cleanse you. Just like what John said, if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But here, you can see the confession here. It's very important. Woe is me. And many times, we always complain about a situation. And this complaining, you're not complaining about yourself, do you? Do you always complain about yourself? Who do you always complain about? Our complaining is never about ourselves. It's always about others, huh? Am I right? Sharon, do you always complain about yourself? No, no, right. But we always complain about this, about that, about this, and about them, about never about me, right? This is the way we are. But praise the Lord, you need to see the vision. And I really mean it today. Tell the Lord, Lord, give me such a vision of yourself in my spirit. Let me see this vision. I want to see this vision. I saw the Lord sitting on a throne. Don't believe people when they say, oh no, you're not going to see that today. Just believe it. No, 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 no. Too many times the Bible mentioned Isaiah saw it. Daniel did not just say, oh, I read Isaiah chapter 6 and I believe. Daniel saw it. Ezekiel did not say, oh, I read what Daniel wrote. No, Ezekiel saw it. Paul saw it. John saw it. John didn't say, oh, I believe what Isaiah chapter 6 says. No, he saw it himself. He saw it, and you need to see it. Amen. I need to see it. We need to see it.
Amen.
And that seeing will revolutionize your being. Believe me, if you see the living Christ and the Father on the throne, that will change your being. If you just have knowledge in your head, it's not going to change you. Not going to change anything. Amen. After this vision, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Now this is a very crucial question. In Israel, there are so many people. There are so many people. At that time, there were so many people. For God to have to ask this question, whom shall I send? Firstly, shows us that although he was God sitting on the throne, so high and uplifted, he was the king. My eyes have seen the king. He's a king. Does the king have to ask, who shall I send? Do you think a king has to ask? If you're a king, do you have to ask? You don't have to ask, right? You command. Right, Greg?
Yeah.
You command. If a king still have to ask, oh, who shall I send? He already lowered himself, right? But here, God says, whom shall I send? Whom shall I send? Meaning to say, firstly, he doesn't force people. He will not force you to come. He has the right. He's the king. But he will not force you. He needs our cooperation. He needs you to agree. He even needs you to volunteer. He needs you to volunteer. So consecration is not just, okay, I'll do it if I hear your calling, if you want me to. No. Who initiates? The question is this, who initiates? God initiate or you initiate? Very hard to say. For the Lord to ask the question, whom shall I send? He initiates. But then on the other hand, who? He cannot say, John, you. Then you, when you hear this calling from the Lord, then you have to initiate and says, here I am. So you can really say there is two sides to this calling. Verse 8, it says, whom shall I send and who will go for us? The angels are ready. All the seraphims, all the cherubims, even the archangel Michael, and of course, Gabriel, many times mentioned in the Bible, is ready. All of them are ready. But are you ready? Are you ready? This is the whole point today. For God's work on this earth, it's not angels that will be doing God's work on this earth. This is a very special planet. This is called the planet Earth. Belongs to the human beings, not to the apes. To the human beings. God, in the very beginning, already committed the rule of this earth to man and have dominion over all the things that he created. This is determined by God. So whatever is going to happen on this earth, if God is going to do something on this earth, he needs not the angels. The angels are there to help us, but he needs you. All of you, all of us here, he needs us today. Amen. Especially the young people, the young generation. Amen. Then I said, here I am, sent me. Verse 8. Amen. On one hand, you hear God saying, whom shall I send? On the other hand, you see Isaiah saying, here I am, send me. God needs volunteers. But for God to send Isaiah, Isaiah needs the vision. Without a vision, you will have no strength to serve. You will have no way to serve. Because the way to serve is to serve with a living God. Not by doctrines, not just the knowledge of the Bible. You can know the Bible. You can know the whole Bible. I don't care. You can be very gifted in speaking. It doesn't matter. Nothing will happen. Believe me, I've seen so many good speakers. To speak is very easy. But nothing happens. You can speak and speak and speak and speak and speak. You can speak 40 years, 50 years, 80 years, nothing happens. And if something happens, then it's not God's work. It's man's organization. It's man's way. If you want to do God's work, it's not just by speaking. You need to see the living vision. You need to see the one sitting on the throne. You need to see the burning situation there. You need to interact with the one sitting there on the throne. And you need to cooperate with him. Cooperate with him. And this is what we need today. And you cannot teach people, you cannot train people in this way. There are so many ways you can train. And I've seen so much training in the past years. Oh, so many trainings. Wow, I've been to, I don't know how many years of so-called trainings. You can do a lot of training. In Christianity, there is also so many kinds of training. You know, the Bible school training, theological seminary. You have. I always made a mistake in this word. So yeah, there must be a reason. Yeah. And so many trainings. You train how to go out and preach the gospel. You train this and so many kinds of training. But you cannot train people to see this vision. Mm. Yeah, who can train you to see a vision? Do you go to a place where you study theology there and they train you specifically to see the throne? No one can train anyone to see this vision, and you need this to serve the living God. So, what are we going to do? What can you do? How are you going to help someone to see this vision? You need a heart, and you need to interact with the living God. You need to go to Him. You need to tell Him, Lord, by any means, I need to know You. I need to see You. I don't care whether I'm qualified or not. No one is qualified. He was a man of unclean lips, as well as dwelling in the midst of people of unclean lips. There's so many with unclean lips. So why me? You should tell the Lord. So to be qualified doesn't mean that I have a clean lips. Because he had an unclean lips, right, Lisa? Right. And so why among so many people with unclean lips, Isaiah was the one? It must be that Isaiah must have a heart. He must have a desire. Although he was just like the others. But the difference must be he was seeking after the living God. He wants to be for Him. Or he wanted to be for the living God. I don't know. But there must be something in this man. And that something must be his heart. Must be his heart. In spite of all the problems he had, in spite of having similar background as God's fallen people at that time, but he had a desire. And Paul, the same thing. He was a Pharisee and he was so zealous for the law. Others maybe for the law just make some gain and want a position. But no, Paul, in spite of he was even so zealous that he caused quite a few deaths. He was, in a sense, murderous. And went everywhere and trying to apprehend and put people in prison who call on the name of the Lord. But his heart was to please God. He thought he was doing this for God. He did it in ignorance. So the Lord met him on the way. And that's why Paul says, I did it in ignorance. So it must be that the Lord looks at our heart. Although we are not qualified, just like any other. Many times we ask, why we, right? Why me? Why us? Why? Among so many people, Lord, why is it that I'm in the church and I'm seeing things? I don't know. But It must be that we do have a heart for the Lord. And it's by God's grace. It's by God's grace. So, better not ask. Better just react and say, Lord, here I am.
Amen.
Hey, Lord, here I am. Don't forget me. Here I am.
Amen.
I'm not qualified, but hey, Lord, here I am. Every day you should tell the Lord, Lord, here I am. Don't forget me. I'm for your purpose here. I'm not for my job. Engineering is not my profession. Lord, I want to be your priest. I want to be one serving you. I want to be fully into what you're doing today. I am for your purpose. You should tell the Lord that. And this is what it means. Here I am. Send me. You should realize at that time to be sent by God to that people is not a popular thing to do. It's not a popular thing to do because you're going against the tide. None of the prophets in those days are popular. Many of them are stoned, imprisoned, mistreated, killed. Not one prophet was a popular prophet. Can you think of one that's popular? They were all stoned because of the condition of the Jews in those days. And God's word is never a popular word in the ears of the people. Because God spoke the truth here.
Amen.
And he said, go, tell this people. He didn't say, tell my people. Tell this people. God is about to disown them in a sense. Tell those people. If you're not happy with the people, you don't say, oh, go tell my people. Go tell those people. Go tell them. Keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Meaning to say, they are so used to hearing. You know, don't you hear Sunday after Sunday, Lord's Day after Lord's Day, don't you hear? You know, today, God's people, everywhere, they have one tradition. What do they do on Sunday?
Sunday sermon.
Sunday sermon. Not salmon. Not salmon. Sermon. Not Sunday salmon. Sermon. If it's salmon, it's okay. It's healthy. You can eat it. But it's Sunday sermon. You're hearing 52 sermons every week. Does it change them? Is the situation getting better week after week? More glory? You see any change, the situation? More glorious, lampstand shining full of oil. Keep on hearing, but nothing happens, they do not understand. That means hearing they hear, but they don't understand. And the Lord was quoting this at that time when the Lord was on this earth. Hearing they hear not, seeing they see not. Meaning to say they have eyes, but they don't see. They have ears, but they don't hear. Why? Because their heart waxed fat. Yeah. and grew cold and hardened. And yes. Keep on seeing. Go ahead. Open your eyes. See. Try. Keep on seeing. But they do not perceive. They do not perceive. This is a big problem today. So to send Isaiah to such a people, you think it's a good job? Maybe after Isaiah, I heard that, okay, Lord, send other people. Send David. I changed my mind, Lord, send David. It's a hard thing to do. Don't think it is easy. Believe me, it is not easy. Yeah. To speak the truth, you might lose your head. Make the heart of these people dull, and their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and return and be healed. You know, the Lord quoted this when he was on this earth. So difficult, you need to see. That's why you need the throne. That's why you need to see the vision. Because if you don't see that vision, you're not going to make it.
Yeah.
But if you see this vision, you see the throne, you see the one sitting on the throne, you see, wow, the burning angels there, wow. You see the glory. You see, wow, he is the king and he's ruling. Amen. Okay, let's go, Lord. Even if they don't hear, if they won't hear, it's okay. Let's go. How about that? So, today's situation is not different. There's no difference. People won't hear. You tell them the truth, they won't listen. They like to keep their tradition. They like to hold on. Although it didn't work, they still want to hold on. Although there's so much lack, although the Messiah was there in their midst, they refuse. They won't take him. They won't take him. And although they saw so many miracles, although they saw the Lord doing so many things, and how many more miracles did the Lord have to do at that time in order to convince them? And didn't they see? Well, if somebody rose from the dead like Lazarus, won't you believe that he's the Messiah? Can you, we don't need to order food anymore because Emery can create things out of nothing. You just bring one bread and it'll be, wow, a lot of pizzas. You can turn bread into pizzas, water into apple juice, right? Isn't that good? And Freddy, what can you do? You can, what can you do? If we see so many miracles, won't you believe? You don't need cars anymore. We'll just poof, and we'll be at the meeting. And after the meeting, poof, after we ate, we'll be all at home. Saves gas. Isn't that good? If somebody can do that, don't you believe he is Christ? The Lord did so many miracles, and the Lord spoke so many wonderful words to them. The words of life, the words that are spirit and life, but they won't take it. They just like to stay with what they had. And at the end, they said, get rid of him. Get rid of him. So it's a hard situation today. Even if you go back to Sacramento, you think everybody will believe you? I don't think so. It's so hard. So difficult. It's not easy. It's not easy. It's not easy. I heard in going to technical university or school there in Heilbronn, the pastor told you, don't come. Don't come. Don't come here. And if you want to come here, then you do it with us. Otherwise, don't come here as if the campus belongs to them. No, it doesn't belong to them. It belongs to the Lord. Should ask Toby to write him a letter. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, including the campus in Heilbronn. Not yours, but the Lord's. And that's good enough. Send him a note. Oh, are you afraid to do that? Will he cut off your head? That's good if he cuts off your head. You'll be in the kingdom right away. Assurance that you'll be partakers of the millennial kingdom.
I will write the mail.
The Lord told Isaiah, you go to tell them. Go tell them. You have ears and you hear not. You're blind, you have eyes and you see not. And I'm going to make it even harder to make your ears more dull and to make you more blind as you are so that you will not hear nor see. Otherwise, I will be able to heal you. That means the Lord didn't want to heal them. Just forget about them. Even for the Lord, as far as the Lord is concerned, they're hopeless. Then I said in verse 11, how long, Lord? How long? The Lord answered, until the cities are laid waste and without inhabitant. Wow. That must have shocked Isaiah. Inasmuch as these people refuse the water of Shiloh that flows softly and rejoice in Rezin and in Ramaliah's son. Now therefore, behold, the Lord brings up over them the waters of the river, strong and mighty, the king of Assyria and all his glory, and he will go up over all his channels and go over all his banks, and he will pass through Judah, overflow and pass over. He will reach up to the neck, and stretching out his wings, will fill the breadth of your land, O Emmanuel. Be shattered, O you peoples, be broken in pieces, etc., etc. That means God will judge. Don't think there will be no judgment. You'll be surprised. When the last 7 years comes and people still not repent, in the last 3.5 years there will be the great tribulation. It's going to be judgment. Judgment day. Today the Lord is still giving his people a chance and giving the unbelievers a chance. But a lot of people will not react. They will not turn to the Lord. Isaiah and all the prophets in the Old Testament is not written in vain. Don't say, oh, it's the Old Testament. No, it's not. It's the Scriptures. It's the Scriptures. This is talking about our situation today. So we need this heavenly vision. And we all need to be today's Isaiah and Daniel and Ezekiel. And there are not too many of them. Well, the Lord needs volunteers. Don't say I'm not qualified. No one is qualified. None of us are. But in spite of us not being qualified, we volunteers. Remember, among all the offerings, there is such an offering called a voluntary offering. Isn't that good? Mm-hmm. Voluntary offering. You give yourself to the Lord and say, Lord, here I am. When the Lord appeared to Paul on his way to Damascus, first question the Lord, Paul asks is, who are you, Lord? You already called him Lord, but who are you? Second question is, what do you want me to do? That's the second question. So many people like to ask, who are you? Okay, that you may ask. The Lord will tell you, I am he whom you persecuted. Okay. But a second question that you should continue to ask, what would you have me do? What do you want me to do? Here in Isaiah, it's the same thing. He saw the glory of the Lord. He saw the king. Wow, this is really the king. And he saw his condition. And then, sure enough, Paul saw his condition. He was blinded. And he just was helpless. But then he volunteered. He told the Lord, what would you have me do? What do you want me to do? This is the second question. You have to ask the second question. What do you want me to do? That means, here I am, send me. It's the same word. It's formulated in a different way, but it is the same. What would you have me do? How often have you asked the Lord, what are you doing today? Not yesterday, not last year, not 40 years ago, not 50 years ago, not 500 years ago, but what are you doing now? I like to know what the Lord is doing now. Amen. Spiritually, there is a progression. There is a progression. There are still so many things we have not seen, and that we must see today as young people. I hope the Lord will show you more. Mm-hmm. Remember Jeremiah chapter 33. Mm-hmm. Call upon me and I will show you great and mighty things which you, what, already knew? What did he say? Which what? Which you do not know. You think you know everything? There are many things we do not know yet. The Lord still has many things to do, especially we need the reality. We need a substance today. We need Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord. We need the truth, the substance, not the doctrine. You already know so much doctrine. Of course, there are many more things you don't know. But, oh Lord, believe me, there are many things yet for us to see. Many things hidden in God's Word. May the Lord really open up something for us. Something fresh, something new. Something Amen. Living, something that works today.
Amen.
I'm so happy to see, and here in Europe, after the conference in Ezekiel, the wheels started to roll. Right?
Amen.
Amen. Wonderful. Things are happening. Wheels are rolling. Amen. And the saints are stirred up to really go on with the Lord, the young people. The young generations. I'm not against the older generation. I belong to the older generation. I'm not against myself. No, but I want to see from generation to generation. The Lord must raise up a new generation. If you have a company, and a company are all above 60, 70, you start working there in Apple, you see people my age, 75, 70, I'm not 75, not yet 70. You see people 65, what 65, they all retired. 60, a few, hardly half, half the age. But you go to many of the state churches, Lutheran churches, you go 80 some. Oh my goodness. What about us today? What about the Lord? What about His purpose? Remember, no, I'm not against the old generation. I belong to the older generation already. But I want to see a younger generation rise up, not to rebel, no, but to go on. To go on. To press forward. You have the energy, you have the time, you have the capacity to learn new things from the Lord. You're not a burden with tradition. You're free. You're fresh. It's easier for the Lord to go on with you. But in a way of life, in a way of the Spirit, in a way to know the Lord in a living way, in a way of seeing this heavenly vision of God's throne, in a way of knowing Him in a real way. This is what is needed today. That's why I said, forget about any outline. That's why I said, Lord, I want to see things happening. Not just we working here, but with the cherubims, with the seraphim, heaven and earth. Joined together, coordinating the four living creatures with the wings and the wheels rolling on the earth. The four living creatures are heavenly creatures. The wheels touching the earth are the churches, are us full of eyes. One brother said it in a good way. He's an engineer in Stuttgart. After one meeting, he came to me. That's right. The angelic beings, the four living creatures, they are God, created by God, but the wheels are made by the engineers. God didn't create wheels, but wheels are made by man. That means it has something to do with God and man cooperating. It's touching the earth. It's for movement. So here you can really see heaven and earth are cooperating. not just we working here, but four living creatures, and on top is God sitting on the throne. Electrum there. The wonderful picture there. And moving wherever the Spirit wants them to go, it's the Spirit. There's the movement of God's glory. This has been in my heart all these months. Because God wants to move on this earth. He wants to move on this earth. But nobody wants to move with Him. We have flat tire. The wheels are round, but the tires are flat. God is looking for this generation to move together with Him. Because it is from generation to generation. If God cannot find people in this generation, in your generation, how can He move on? I already feel I'm sorry. What can I do? I'm not your age anymore. You see the black hair and you see the gray hair. It's just different. It's from generation to generation, from generation to generation. Now this is your generation. What are you going to do about it? Don't wait till I die, no. Then when you wait till I die, you're going to be an old generation, then you have to wait for the next generation. And the next generation is waiting until you get old, and then they become old, and then God will not have any way to go on. So the Lord will have to raise up your generation to go on, and this is the burden. Not to make a revolution, no, but to really go on with the Lord, to know the Lord in a living way, to see the living vision. Anyone who wants to serve the Lord must see this living vision. Otherwise, how are you going to serve? How are you going to serve without seeing the living vision? So, you all need to give yourself to the Lord and tell the Lord, Lord, I want to go on with you. So we can forget about our schedule. Just let the Lord touch your heart. Consider it before the Lord. Because, hey, what's the use of a conference if it doesn't work? In that conference in Ezekiel, it was really a real burden in the Lord's heart. That's why we never got beyond Ezekiel chapter 1. Because God has to move. What are we talking about the wheels for if the wheels are not moving? What is the use of seeing that vision if nothing's happening? And if He's the living God, how come nothing is going on today? And if we say we are the church, how come nothing is happening? I told the Lord, no, forget it. I'm not going to do things like that. I want to see you move. You're the living God, right? How come 40 years ago, 30 years ago, when we were in Germany, the Lord really moved and the Lord gained so many people, and now no more? No, have you changed your mind? Or no, probably not. But it's we. Something is not right on our part. So the wheels must move again. And the whole vision is the vision of God's glory. God's glory is not stagnant. God's glory must move on. Cannot be that the living God is not doing anything anymore on this earth today. I don't believe that. I don't believe that. So if we believe and if we are convinced that this is God's way, then I'd like to see something happening with this generation. I'd like to see the Lord gaining more of the young people. I'd like to see the Spirit moving and we moving with them. And heaven and earth would be working together, the four living creatures and the four wheels, with the Spirit moving together. This is the vision that we see in the book of Ezekiel. I'm expecting more to see what's going to happen in Europe, because such a vision is, if it doesn't work, forget it. No more conferences. Forget about the spring conference. Forget about it. I might as well just retire. God is living. His work must be living. And He must be living in us. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
You're not children anymore. You're not teenagers anymore. And many of you are already working. And most of you are graduating. And some are still in college. But what do you want to do? How are you related to God's work, which is the most important work in this universe? And if we believe that He's coming back in our age, in our time, then you should consider how to get involved in God's living work today. Positively. This is necessary for you all to bear in mind and to have it in your heart. And God needs you and we need God. It's not just we need Him, but He needs us. Who should I send? Meaning He needs you. Here I am, sent me. That means He needs us. We need Him and He needs us. We need Him, He needs us. And I believe all the heavenly beings there, all the living creatures, the seraphim, the cherubim, they're waiting. Come on! What are you doing down there? They're all ready to roll and fly, you know. They're ready to fly, but we're not really ready to roll. They want to fly, but we want to roll, and they're connected to the wheels. Can you imagine wings want to fly, but the wheels won't roll? What are we going to do? The driver on top, sitting on the throne, put it on the gear, but the wheels won't roll. You see the cooperation On top is the Lord sitting on the throne. And then you have the four living creatures with the wings touching the firmament. And then you have the wheels, great big wheels, touching the earth. Wow, what a universal cooperation is that? And if one doesn't work, whether it's the top, I'm sure there's no problem with the top. And the middle part, the four living creatures, I don't think there's much problem there. The problem is in the wheels there. And if the wheels won't, you have a good driver, the car is filled with gasoline, the motor is good, but the wheels are flat. You cannot drive a car like that. Right. At the end, the battery is dead. One part is not working, the whole car cannot move. I still remember Naomi's wedding day. I was supposed to prepare the car, take the bride from the home to here. And the car was all prepared, parked in the garage. When I turned on the key that very morning, nothing happens. I thought, oh no. And I turned it again, the battery was completely dead. I have a good driver, a good bright, a clean car filled with gasoline, wow, polish, etc. The battery is dead. No, we can't go. I said, my goodness. So I have to quickly call other people to come and pick up the bride. Everything has to be working. That's the vision in Ezekiel chapter 1. If it's not working, I said, Lord, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Lord, raise up this generation to be for you, to be in the Spirit, to see the vision, to experience Christ day by day, to cooperate with you. And to pray and see, Lord, how to work. Where do you want to go? What is your direction? What is your movement today? Think about these things. Consecrate yourselves. Amen. Let's have some prayers. Amen. Oh, Lord. Open the heavens to us.
Amen.
Pray that all of our young people will have eyes to see the heavenly vision.
Amen.
Like Isaiah, like Daniel,
Amen.
Like Ezekiel, like Paul, like John.
Amen.
We want to see you.
Amen.
We want to see the King in his glory.
Amen.
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 Yes, Lord. Lord, open our
right.
eyes these days.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Lord, unveil our eyes that we could see this vision.
Amen.
Amen.
Lord, you are
Amen.
The living God.
Amen.
Lord, you want to go on.
Yes.
Lord, we repent. We repent for being so slow.
Yes, Lord.
We repent for being flat. Oh, Lord, we do not want to hold you back.
That's right.
Oh, Lord, we do want to go on with you, Lord.
Amen.
Oh,
Amen.
Lord, we want to know right. you as the living God. Oh,
yes.
Lord, the one who is ready to move.
Amen.
Oh, Lord
Amen.
Jesus. Lord,
yes.
break through in us, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Oh, Lord.
Amen.
Yes.
Oh, Jesus.
Amen.
Renew the vision.
Yeah.
Amen. Open the heavens to us.
Amen.
God, we desire to know you.
Amen.
We desire to see your glory.
Amen.
Oh, each and every one of us, give us such a heart full of the desire to know you.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen,
Lord, that you can really use us for cooperating with you.
Amen.
We need to see your glory.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, Amen. We need to hear you speaking.
Amen.
Amen. Lord Jesus, we want to be those people like Ezekiel and Isaiah, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Use the living coal to cleanse us.
Amen.
Amen. Make us to be useful
Amen.
For you.
Yes.
Lord Jesus, help us to get rid of all the weight that blocks us to follow you, Lord.
Amen.
Oh, Lord
Amen.
Jesus, we give ourselves for your purpose.
Amen.
We volunteer this morning, Lord.
Yes. Amen.
Lord,
Amen.
We say, here
Amen.
We are. Send us,
right.
Lord.
Yeah.
Amen. We are willing to be a generation that follows you. Amen.
Amen.
Oh.
Amen.
Send us. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
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 Yes.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Right.
Give us such a heart that loves you.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Right.
Although we are unclean lips,
yes.
We pray that you would appear to each
Lord.
One of us.
Amen.
Especially
yeah.
this weekend, Lord.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yes.
Lord. Amen.
Roll us from all the things that encumber us.
Amen.
Amen. Lord Jesus, we give our hearts to you.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Amen. Yes.
Amen.
Oh Lord, and we want to really volunteer.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Right.
Here we are, Lord.
Amen.
Yes, here we are.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, work us out in each one of us. Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Lord,
appear
to us.
Amen.
Amen.
Sitting on the throne.
Amen.
Yes.
Understand with our
hearts. Yeah.
Yes. Amen.
Yes, Lord, you desire to move on this earth.
Amen.
Yes, Lord, we volunteer. Here we are, Lord.
Amen.
Here we are.
Use us for your glory. Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Lord.
Lord
Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
Lord,
yeah.
Lord Jesus.
Give us a heart for you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Give us a heart for God.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
Yes, yes.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yes.
Amen. Amen.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Do things on this earth that you want done in the
heavens. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yes.
Amen.
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 Amen. Yes.
Amen.
That's right, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Lord Jesus.
Yes. We want to present our spirit, soul, and body.
Amen.
As a living sacrifice to you.
Amen.
Yes, even our body.
Amen.
In a practical way.
Right.
Lord, nothing is as important as you.
Amen.
Amen. Show us your throne.
Amen.
Show us your kingship.
Amen.
Amen.
Oh Lord.
Amen. Oh Lord. Oh, amen.
Lord. Amen. Lord. Yeah. Say, here we are.
Amen.
Send us.
Amen.
We want to reach out to you, Lord.
Amen.
We don't want you to pass us by.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, you are the living God.
Amen.
You have so much more to show us.
Right.
Amen.
Lord, we want to see it, Lord.
Oh, Lord.
Amen.
Experience what you want to do on this earth.
Amen.
In your churches, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Yes. Amen. Amen. Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes. Lord, you must have a way in all of us.
Amen.
Here in Fountain Valley.
Amen.
In Cupertino.
Amen.
In the Bay Area.
Amen.
In New York.
Amen.
In Dallas, Texas.
Yes.
Toronto.
Amen.
Vancouver.
Amen.
Oh Lord, do move in North America.
Amen.
Not only in Europe.
Yes.
Also in the Far East.
Amen.
In Africa.
Yes.
Pray that you will gain the new generation.
Amen.
The generation of this age.
Amen.
To move with you.
Amen.
To cooperate with the heavens.
Amen.
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 Amen. Oh Lord.
Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Gain such a generation everywhere.
Amen.
Lord, we pray that we will not miss the time.
Amen.
Oh Lord, we are here to press this opportunity.
Amen.
Amen. We don't want to wait any longer.
Yeah.
You shall not wait for us, but we give ourselves.
Amen.
Amen. Lord, here we are.
Amen.
Send us, Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Always to be one with you.
Amen.
Rise up in our spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Take away all
sickness
in the spirit.
Amen.
We are burning in the spirit. Amen. Increase the temperature in us. Lord, let us be hot and burning in our spirit.
Amen.
Amen. We want to see churches to be full of glory.
Amen.
Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, everywhere we want to see you moving.
Amen.
Amen. Speak to us and direct us.
Right.
Amen. Lord, this is what we are here for.
Amen.
Our time and our strength belongs to you.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, we
Lord
are your
priests.
Amen. Use us, Lord.
Amen.
Fill us with your spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Lord, make use of our youth.
Amen. Right.
Oh, Lord.
Amen.
Lord, make use of our youth.
Amen.
Amen. Yes.
Lord.
Do, Lord.
Amen.
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 Yes.
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 Amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Yes. Give us a new and pure heart.
Amen.
And a strong inner man.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Lord.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
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 Yes. Yes, you are. Amen. Lord.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Yes, we pray that your spirit will be poured out.
Amen.
Fill all the young generation with your spirit.
Amen.
Have the eyes of the heart enlightened.
Amen.
To see what you're doing today.
Amen.
Oh Lord, help us.
Amen.
Give us grace.
Amen.
Lead us by your holy anointing.
Amen.
Amen.
Useful vessels for the master.
Amen.
You would gain your own special people.
Yes.
Amen. The whole earth would be filled with your glory.
Amen. Amen.
Yes. Yes, thank you. We do not have to have confidence in our own flesh, Lord.
Yes.
Lord, but we can say that you're the one who is sending us.
Amen.
And that we can stand up and say, send us, Lord.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, do this in us.
Right.
Amen.
Do this, Lord. Amen.
Yes, we say that we don't want to work just for dust, Lord.
Yes.
Lord, we really want to see you living in us, Lord.
Amen.
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 Yes. Consecrate to you our youth.
Amen.
Our energy.
Amen.
Our time and strength.
Amen.
Oh Lord, fill our young people with yourself.
Amen.
Even with wisdom from on high.
Amen.
Amen. Do equip us.
Amen.
Perfect us.
Amen.
Make everyone useful for the ministry.
Amen.
We call upon your name.
Amen.
We believe in you.
Amen.
In the living God.
Amen.
You are able.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes. You are able.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You are able.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
You are able.
Amen.
You enable each one of us.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Cooperate with you.
Amen.
Amen. Encourage each one of us.
Amen.
Amen. Sanctify us.
Amen.
And fill us with the Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes. Oh, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, Lord.
Amen. From all bondages.
Yes.
Amen. Set everyone free. Amen. Oh,
yes.
Lord. Hallelujah. We are willing to leave everything behind to follow you.
Yes.
Draw us
yes.
to you. Amen.
Even in Sacramento.
Yes.
Do something there.
Amen.
Pray for all the saints there.
Amen.
All the families.
Amen.
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 Strengthen them.
Amen.
Encourage them.
Amen.
Oh, appear to them.
Yes.
May they all see the vision.
Amen.
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 Grant them an open heaven.
Amen.
Mm. Amen.
Right. Oh, grant the saints in Sacramento an open heaven.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, amen.
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 Your wheels move in this
Oh,
city.
Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, Lord.
Yes, all over the world.
Amen.
May the wheels move.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Lord,
amen.
Move in Kansas City.
Amen.
Do something there in Missouri, Lord.
Amen.
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 Yes.
Amen.
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 Yes.
Amen. Yes.
Amen.
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 Draw the seeking ones.
Amen.
The faithful ones.
Amen.
The ones whom you have chosen.
Amen.
And called.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Pray for your
work.
Amen. Do your work in North America.
Amen.
We claim this country for your move.
Amen.
For your living testimony.
Amen.
Amen.
Lord, may we see our real profession.
Amen.
Amen.
Your purpose.
Amen.
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 When we started in Germany, 1971, wow, 41 years ago, well, I'm your age, 27, 28, and all of us there are young people, just graduated, some are working, and the Lord gained the country. The Lord started the work in Europe. Okay. That's why I believe the Lord can do it with you. Because He did it with us. But the Lord will have to open the heavens, and we all need to know the living one. This is the key. This is important. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
May the Lord do something new again in this country.
Amen.
It's worth it. Now you're the professional, and you know what your profession is.
Amen.
Serving the living God. That's your profession. That's your main profession.
Right.
Whether you are doing it full-time, you're doing it carrying a job, doesn't matter. But your main profession is to serve the living God. Yes. Many of the young brothers there are actually serving full-time, holding a job. Right?
Yeah.
Are you a full-timer? Yes. Holding a job. He's a full-timer holding a job. So, it doesn't matter whether we are full-timers. If the Lord calls you to leave your job, that's fine. But whether you are carrying on a job, you have a profession on this earth, working, that's fine. But you have to realize that you are serving the living God. Nothing is more important than that, believe me. Especially when the Lord comes. No more Bosch. No more Benz. No more Apple. No more Microsoft. It's softened away. It just all melt away. Nothing matters when the Lord comes back. So, know your priority. This is the main thing. You know what your priority is. Nothing is important. Nothing is important. Good job, not a good job, bad job, doesn't matter. A job is a job. Don't be distracted. You serve Him and see His will done on this earth, and that's it when the Lord comes back. That's the end of everything. Let me read to you a verse in James that we in Fountain Valley has been enjoying last week. And then we can have our lunch somewhere. Chapter 1. Verse 9 is a very practical verse. Let the lowly brother glory in his exaltation, and let the rich in his humiliation. I love this verse. Because in God's eyes, there is no lowly, there is no rich, everybody is poor. Because the real riches are the spiritual, eternal riches. It says, because as a flower of the field, he will pass away. For no sooner has the sun risen with a burning heat, than it withers the grass. Its flower falls, and its beautiful appearance perishes. So the rich man also will fade away in his pursuits. You see? So today, if you're lowly, meaning to say maybe you're not that rich, maybe you don't have a house, maybe you don't have a wonderful six-figure job, it doesn't really matter. Because that's not your exaltation. That's nothing. What is your exaltation? Your exaltation is that you are a son of God. You're an heir. You're going to inherit the whole universe one day with Christ. You're going to be a co-king. Isn't that an exaltation? Or would you prefer to be a CEO of Apple?
No way.
No way. No need. No need. It's just going to occupy your time. You'll be so busy you have no time for the Lord. I'm not saying you shouldn't be, but if you got the job, just do it as a job. But that's not your main job. You don't glory in that. Because in the eyes of God, there's a lot of corruption. You know, this world is full of corruption. You might not see it, but hey, you know, it's full of corruption. That's what the psalmist says. Whether you gain it by thefts, the Bible uses the word thefts, meaning to say a lot of riches people get today are by not proper means. There's a lot of... otherwise, it's hard to get rich, okay? You want to really be rich, you cannot go by the books. That's why a lot of business people, they keep two books, one under the table and one for the IRS, one under the table somewhere. Well, otherwise, how are you going to get rich? Or your riches just increase by itself. You put in the bank because you're so rich now. You put in the bank, it just increases. That's what the psalmist says. But whatever it is, you know, it's going to pass away. So here, let a lowly brother glory in his exaltation. This exaltation is when God exalts you. This is the exaltation that we need. And let the rich, if you're rich, don't glory in your riches. And don't look down on other people. No. But you have to glory in your humiliation, in your lowliness, because you are just flesh. Flesh is the lowest thing. And yourself, the fallen self, you're still fallen. And in your mind, there's a lot of crazy things there. And our fallen state, this is why Isaiah says, oh, woe to me. Because I'm a man of unclean lips. Don't think you're so great. Don't think you're so successful. No, don't glory in those things. But you glory in your humiliation. Tell the Lord, Lord, so what? You know, you can gain the whole world, you lose your soul, the Lord said. Why? Because as a flower of the field, he will pass away. If you're rich, you won't live one day longer because you're rich. And you won't die one day earlier because you are not rich. The same thing, right? No sooner has the sun risen with a burning heat than it withers the grass. So our life is actually very short. So don't glory in those things, in those outward things. You know, we live in an age where, especially in a country where you can't be poor. You'll find a good job after you graduate. The Lord will give you a proper job. Don't worry about that. Don't worry about that. But your heart has to be for God's purpose. May the Lord really open our eyes. Don't be for outward things. Don't be for outward things. If you have it, that's fine. If you don't have it, that's also fine. If you have it, it may be a distraction. If you don't have it, it can also be a distraction. So it doesn't matter. So whether you have it, you don't have it, it's all right. Just like what Paul said, if you're married, you should live like if you're not married. So if you're in whatever situation you are, you must be for God's purpose. It doesn't matter. Right. So if you have a wonderful job, that's fine. If you have a so-so job, that's also fine. It doesn't matter. Okay. But your heart has to be for God's purpose. Amen. Then your life is not only meaningful, but you're fulfilling the very purpose of your existence on this earth. Be wise, and that's wisdom. This is wisdom. Otherwise, you can be very successful in this world. When the Lord comes back, everything disappears, and what do you have? Then that's what, using the Bible's term, weeping and gnashing of teeth. Weeping and gnashing of teeth. We don't want to do that. And the Lord promised, you're for Him, all the things will be added to you anyway. So why worry? Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Trust in the living God. He will owe you nothing. He will owe you nothing. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Especially living in this world today, it's very distracting.
Mm-hmm.
It's very distracting. But anyway, may the Lord have mercy on all of you.
Amen.
Praise God. Okay. Just enjoy your fellowship.